Lord, bless everyone. Can we give God praise and magnify his wonderful name? We bless him. Oh, thank you for the water. I was getting ready to make my way over to the water. This is the first drink of water I had all day. And I was looking at it. But the choir was in between me and the water. I couldn't get to it. But we thank God. Amen. And I had a conversation with the young man that was singing that song. Where did he go? Oh, there he is. Man, wonderful job, man. You ain't tell me you was a big-time singer. That's right. Thank God for you, bro. Amen. He did an awesome, awesome job. Awesome job. Let me take a moment to open this water. Yeah. Woo. Anybody want something? Y'all want something? All right, let me take a moment. Y'all pray for a brother. Amen. Usually when I come here, it's waiting for me at the door. This time I couldn't find it. That's what y'all can laugh. Come on, everybody. It's all right. It's all right. And I was planning on preaching to about 4 o'clock, and so I need the water to help get me there. But no, just kidding. Everybody relax. Somebody say relax, just take it easy, it's gonna be all right. But could we give God praise for our youth and for their time of worship and celebration? Amen. And we thank God. And so let us pray. Father, we just thank you for the power and the authority of your word. May your word burn in our hearts and bring forth fruit. May we continue to honor you and glorify you with all of our lives. We bless you, Father. We appreciate your love, the things that you have done and the things that you continue to do for us. We magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I appreciate, you know, the word of God. I appreciate being able to share. It's a very humbling experience for us to gather in the presence of God and for me to have this opportunity to speak to you about the word of God. And it is a very humbling experience. I appreciate seeing the young people worship, the praise, and they're expressing themselves in the presence of the Lord. It is so important. It is important for our world, for our society today, for there to be a representation of God. Amen. With all of the things that's taking place and happening within our society and going on around the world, there needs to be a people who know their God, who have a relational experience with him, who are able to lift up their voices in praise and honoring him, glorifying him, and magnifying him. Come on, can we put our hands together and bless our God? And so, and I love to always, you know, deal with the theme for this Harvest Fest. And after this, I would love to remain. And I'm working on something. I'm working on something to get my church down here. We're going to come, man. We're going to come. We're going to show up. And so if y'all see a pocket of people just come sneak in here one Sunday, just sitting back there chilling, that's us. All right. Don't be surprised. We're going to make it happen. And I love dealing with the theme of this particular Harvest Fest. And it is in Revelations chapter 5, verse 13, because there's always things that we can learn from God's word and where this thing is headed, where he is taking us, and what we are to do, how we are to conduct ourselves in getting there. And in verse 13 of Revelations chapter 5, we find these words, "And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. And so we see this type of behavior was revealed unto John. He saw this type of behavior taking place in heaven, under the earth, in the sea, all over the place, wherever God's creation was. This type of behavior was being exhibited by those who were worshiping and magnifying and glorifying the name of the Lord. And what I want to talk to us today about glorified living. Glorified living. And glorified living speaks about the behavior of those who live their life for the glory of God. The behavior of those who live their life for the glory of God. How do we conduct ourselves? How do we walk? How do we live? How do we express ourselves as being of those who glorify the living God? And what glory means to bring attention to. And so our primary purpose of existing, for those of us who know the Lord, for those of us who have a relationship with him, our primary purpose for existing is to bring attention to our God. Is to bring attention to him. And I have the responsibility, you know, of being in different type of settings of which the Lord gives us opportunity to work or function or do different things. And so those are open door opportunities. And all of us, we have open door opportunities, doors in which God opens up for us where we can go into that door and we have an opportunity to glorify him or to bring attention to him based upon our behavior in that situation. And so how many of you realize that our behavior, depending upon what type of behavior we have, it will determine whether we're bringing glory to God or whether we're bringing glory to bringing attention to ourselves or whether we're bringing attention to some other kind of stuff. Everybody understand? And so we want to make sure that we're bringing attention to God. And so I take full advantage, no matter who's around us or who's around or in our spheres of influence, we have the opportunity to bring attention to God. I remember it was during the 1980s where we spent a lot of time ministering and honoring God in the hospitals, on the streets. It was myself and several other friends of mine who are now pastors. Some went on to be with the Lord. But we spent our time ministering in hospitals. And I tell you, I remember that there was a time during that season that the Lord had us functioning and doing those things. It was St. Elizabeth Hospital in Elizabeth, New Jersey. And we used to go up to that hospital like every week. And we would pray. And we would talk about the Lord. And we would pray. And we would talk about the Lord. And there was a time when we went up to that hospital and it was difficult for us to find anybody to pray for because God was just healing folks and they was up and out of there. And I remember there was another time when we were glorifying the Lord, bringing attention to him. We were on the street witnessing. When we're on the street witnessing, we're talking about the Lord. We're telling people about Jesus. And you cannot make this stuff up. Whenever God is working, you can clearly identify that, man, this thing must be of the Lord. Within a month time, within one month, different parts of the city We ministered to brothers, one brother in one location, their mother in a separate location, and then another brother. And we found out that all of them was related because one of our times when we were walking the community, walking the street, we ended up at their home where they was living in the apartment. We found out that all of them was related to each other. And again, we can clearly see that God has something to do with that. Somebody say, God has something to do with that. And so when we come to this word of God, glorified living, the behavior of those who live their life for his glory, there's just two scriptures I want us to look at dealing with this particular topic. And one of them we find in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, and we're looking at verse 22. And this is the scripture. It's going to talk about Abram and how Abram conducted himself. Because there's two ways now. When we do things for his glory, we can do it in two ways. One way is we do it, we expose him, we reveal God, we reflect on his goodness by our actions, how we behave ourselves, brings glory to God, and also what we speak from our lips. So our behavior and what we say brings glory unto the Lord. These are the things that we can do, how we conduct ourselves to bring glory unto him. And so in Genesis chapter 14, verse 22, we find these words. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. And this is what Abram said to the king of Sodom. Look, let me see you just raise your hand. Somebody say, I just raised my hand to the Lord. Come on, somebody. I raise my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now, the reason why this thing is so incredible, it is so powerful, because Abram was expressing how he brought glory unto God. He expressed bringing glory or bringing attention to God by the lifting up, by the raising of his hands, and also by the words that were coming out of his mouth. But listen, this is so amazing because now Abram would have never been involved in this situation or where he is right now if it had not been for his nephew Lot. His nephew Lot. They came to have to separate because they had so much. God had richly blessed Abram so much. This was before his name was changed. God had blessed him and his nephew so much that they couldn't live together. And as a result of them living together, strife began to arise between the men of Abram and also the men who was with Lot. Strife began to fester between the two groups. And Abram said, let there be no strife between us. And what does that mean? It means that there was potential for what? Strife. Come on now. There was potential for strife. What? Somebody say strife. Look, don't tell me you don't know what strife is. Don't sit there and act like you don't know what strife looks like or how it happens. And so Abram said, let there be no strife between us. You let us separate from each other. You look out and see whichever direction you want to go in. You want to go in, you can go in that direction. Look, Lot looked around and he picked out the best place, the most beautiful looking place for him to go. And he says, that's where I'm headed. That's where I'm separating myself from you. I am going to this place. But here's the problem. God said, and so Lot chose to live in the area of Sodom. And the word of God tells us that the area where Lot chose to live, there was wicked men. It said that the land of Sodom was wicked. And they was evilly treating the things of God and treating God. But Lot chose to go and dwell in that place. And so, but another thing it also reveals is that people who glorify God with their life does not have time to have issues of strife with anyone. When we glorify God, when we make a decision to glorify God with our life, we do not have time to have issues with you. You may have an issue with us, but we don't have time to have issues with you. And so Lot went to that place to live. And now many of us would say, look, you make your bed, you lay in it. Y'all ever hear that before? Look, in other words, you chose to do that. You chose to go there. If you get in trouble, do not call me because I'm not coming. But Abram had no issues of strife with Lot. He settled the matter. He settled the matter in his heart. He settled the matter in his actions by the lifting up of his hands. And also by the words that he spoke out of his mouth, there were no issues. But something happened that got Abram involved in the situation that Lot had found himself in. Because Lot was taken captive by the other kings. Chedorlaomer and several kings rose up against Sodom, because Sodom and the other nations used to pay tribute to Chedorlaomer, and they said, no longer are we going to pay tribute to you. No longer are we going to honor you. No longer are we going to give you our funds. And so this king and his army got upset, and they came and they attacked the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and took everyone prisoner. Now, and what happened is someone escaped, and when they escaped, they went to Abram and said, listen, they took your nephew. And Abram said, he made his bed, let him lie in it. No, that's not what Abram said. Abram got his men together and he went after them and he captured them and he rescued them and he won the victory. Now, this king of Sodom was here and standing there with Abram. If it wasn't for Abram, he would have been destroyed. This evil, wicked king, if it wasn't for Abram, he would have been wiped out. But what didn't he see? What didn't he understand? What he did not see, this king of Sodom, he did not see his opportunity to acknowledge the God of heaven. He had an opportunity to acknowledge the God of heaven. And many times what our focus is always on is how God bless us. God's blessing me. God's blessings are upon me. I want everybody to see how blessed I am. How blessed I am. We want folks, other folks, to see how blessed we are. We're blessed. We're blessed and highly favored. We're blessed and highly favored. We're blessed. You know, God is blessing me. God bless me. However, those who glorify God and bring attention to him, is not so much of our focus is on how God has blessed us. We know we're blessed. We're living our life to bring attention to God. But we want you to understand how blessed you are and give glory and honor to God because of our presence. To recognize that God delivered you because of Abram. And Abram is giving glory unto God. And this king of Sodom needed to recognize, and he needed to also give glory unto God for what the Lord has done in his life. But that is not what he chose to do. What he chose to do is to try to pay Abram off. And Abram said, I have lifted my hands to God. I don't want any of your stuff. We just don't take everything from everybody, because we've lifted our hands unto the Lord. And we make sure that we give him glory. We give him honor. We give him praise. Why? Because he alone is worthy of it all. He alone deserves all the glory. He alone deserves all the honor. He alone deserves all the praise. And we bless his holy name. And so we do things for the glory of God. And the interesting thing about this, let's look at another character for the second scripture that we're going to deal with today, is this. We bring attention to God. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. And we find this incident here in the book of Daniel where these gentlemen are bringing glory to God. How do they bring glory to God? By their actions and also by their words. How do we bring glory to God? By our actions and also by our words. So make sure that our actions fall in line with glorifying the Lord. Make sure that our words fall in line with magnifying and glorifying his name. Come on, somebody, give God praise. Just take a moment to bless him. Glory, hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. It is important for us to understand that God knows where we are. He knows where we are. He knows what is happening in every situation. And sometimes people, we lose a focus and we say, well, I just couldn't take anymore. I just couldn't help myself. I just had to. No. But what we have to do is bring attention to God. Come on, somebody, because if we bring attention to God, guess what? He shows up. When we bring attention to him, he shows up. He comes on the scene. He is already working, and he is using us to expose himself. God wants to use you to expose himself, to expose his goodness. He wants to use you to expose his grace. He wants to use you to expose and reveal his truth and salvation. That's why I get excited. You know, I get excited. I get excited. You know, my wife and I, we still are engaged in talking and instructing and helping, you know, hurting people and families. And every time someone comes to us or we get a call, I get excited. You know why? Not because I'm going to show them how blessed I am or how blessed we are or look at how God bless. No. I'm excited about what God is doing in your life because of where you are. Because of who he brought you to. Listen, when you are able to walk through the doors of Community Baptist Church, you need to recognize that God is doing something great in your life because we are in an environment where people have learned to glorify and bring attention to the Lord. It's about him. It's about glorifying him. It's about honoring him. And when we are able to come through and understand that God is working things out for my good. Why? Because that's his word. Not only that is his promise, and we can stand on it. We can depend on it. That is the truth of the matter. And let me tell you something. When you believe it, when you grab hold of that truth, what would our behavior look like? What would it look like? What would our praise sound like? What would the words come out of our mouth be like when we grab hold of the truth of God's word? We see this in Daniel chapter 3. And it says here that Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, "Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter." They said, "Oh, Neb, we don't need to think about this." Oh, my God, listen. What brought them to this place? Dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. And the thing that I want us to realize and see that Nebuchadnezzar gave the three Hebrew boys an opportunity to correct an error or something that they did not do. He gave them an opportunity to get it right. He said, "You ain't getting it right that time. You guys didn't get it right. I know you guys, something might have been going on in your head. I don't know what you guys may have been thinking about, but you didn't get it right. And so I want to give you an opportunity to get it right." Anybody ever gave you an opportunity to get it right after you messed up? You know, they gave you another chance to do it right, to do the right thing. But actually, the right thing that they really wanted you to do really was the wrong thing. But they just gave you an opportunity. Everybody say, anybody ever been there? You know, it was not right in the first place. And they say, "Man, you just messed up that time. I know you were just somewhere else. We're just going to give you another opportunity to try it again." And so here, Nebuchadnezzar had an issue. He had a dream. And him not understanding or knowing, he didn't have the interpretation of the dream that he had. Matter of fact, the dream horrified him so much that he didn't want to remember it. He couldn't remember it. However, he wanted other people to interpret it, and he wouldn't tell them what it was. He couldn't remember the dream. And he said, "If you don't tell me what my dream was, I'm going to start wiping people out." Daniel, who lived his life to glorify God. And what I want to say is this. It was an expression of God's love to Nebuchadnezzar. It was also an expression of God's love for the Babylonian Empire and the people who were there worshiping idols. It was an expression of God's love for them that Daniel was there. It was an expression of God's love for Nebuchadnezzar that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was there. It's an expression of God's love for the world that you and I are where we are. In the situations that we find ourselves in, and no matter how difficult they may seem, no matter how challenging they may be, God knows about it. And what God is looking for, he's looking for the people who declare that they glorify him to stand up and glorify him in that situation with their words and also with their behavior, that God might show up and do some incredible things on the scene. Tell you, God wants to work for you. God wants to bless you. God wants to reveal himself through you. But we must put ourselves in a position and a posture for the glory of God to be revealed. I was in a certain place, and I love it. I love it. I used to be on the street, and under the light, people jumping up, acting like they want to fight. I said, instead of fighting, we're going to read the word. Let's read the word. Start reading the word of God. All of a sudden, all that jumping and parading around stops. I was in a certain place last week, surrounded by all different kind of folks. That's a wonderful place to be. I don't know if you've ever been surrounded before, but that is a wonderful place to be. When you know that you live your life to glorify the Lord, when you live your life in surrender state, hey, that's a good place to be. And so I said, listen, somebody said, Reb, you need to pray for him. You need to pray. I started praying for everybody. I said, that's a great idea. Let's pray. And the whole room had to stand still because the man of God started praying. And when I finished praying, somebody said, man, I'm hot. Sure enough, that's the power of God. And they said, you need to come around more often. Listen, because when we live our lives to glorify God, this is what it looks like. There are examples in the Word of God. The key to your deliverance is in your hands, it is in your heart, and it's also in your mouth. The word of God says that for with the heart man believes unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. So we have to believe it, and we have to confess it. And so you don't have to go too far away from you for your own deliverance, for your own change, for your own transformation, for your own healing, for your own deliverance. You don't have to go far away from you. Somebody say, don't go far away from yourself. Don't go, don't go, don't go. Somebody say, don't go far away from yourself. That's right. I know I wasn't in the choir today. Don't be mad at me about that. It's all right. But the word of God holds true. These gentlemen glorified him. And so let's look at this. And so Daniel said, and so the three Hebrews boys said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. In other words, we don't have to think about what we need to do. We don't have to think about this. And the king wanted him, after you hear the music, after you hear the sound, we want you to bow down to the statue that I've made. And the world wants people to bow. The world wants us to bow. They want us to bow to a political agenda. They want us to bow to right-wing agendas. They want us to bow to a whole lot of things that God has called us to live higher than. Come on, we can bless God. Come on, somebody, praise God. This is the reality of it all. We can't bow down to this worldly stuff. We can't give in to it. All because someone else falls apart, lose it, go crazy. We're not supposed to fall apart. We're not supposed to lose it. We're not supposed to go crazy because we glorify the Lord. We're not there to put ourselves on display. We're there to put him on display. We're not there to show people how to act unbecoming of a child of God, unbecoming of the glory of God, unbecoming of the power of God. But we are in that situation to reveal the blessings of the Lord and to follow his word. We're not there to follow the crowd. We're not there to believe the lies. We're not there to believe the untruths. But we are there to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Lord has never left himself without witness. I am glad that I am a witness for the Most High God. I am glad that we are witnesses for him. I am glad that he put a song in our heart and a praise upon our lips. I am glad that we're able to have a song in the morning and a song in the noonday and a song late at night. I am glad that I don't have trouble sleeping. And if I do have trouble sleeping, I know that I can get up and give God praise. I know that I can get into the Word of God. I know that I can bless his name. And I know that the glory of God will be on the scene to bring about the change that he desires to see in our life, so that we can walk the walk and talk the talk of those who stand upon the promises of Almighty God. Won't you bless his name? Bless him. Bless him. And so when someone wants you to do something that's inappropriate, you let them know that you're here to bring glory to his name. When someone wants you to act beside yourself, let them know that you're here to bring glory to his name. When somebody wants you to step outside of your comfort zone and do something that doesn't bring honor unto the Lord, we're going to let them know that we are here to glorify the name of the Lord. Bring glory to his name. Bring glory to his name. How do we do that? By trusting in his word. By standing on his promises. We don't know what to do. Just wait on the Lord. When you don't know what to say, just wait on the Lord. When you don't know where to go, just wait on the Lord. You can do it. Tell your neighbor you can do it. Tell him, say you can do it. Tell him God wants to be revealed through you. He wants to reveal himself through you. And this is why. Look at what happened. After these three Hebrew boys went through that process, they said, listen, King, we don't need to think about this. See, we need to tell somebody. I don't need to think about this. I'm not drinking that stuff. Somebody need to say, hey, we don't need to think about this. I'm not smoking that stuff. We don't need to think about this. I'm not listening to that music. Yeah. We don't need certain things we don't need to think about. We're here to glorify the Lord. Tell you one last true story, then I'm going to close. I thank God, you know, for my dad. My dad went home to be with the Lord, but before he went, man, he was in the hospital, and the hospital had all these red flags, just red flags everywhere, red flags. Like, you know, when you see a red flag, you need to make a move and get out of that situation, you see. But he needed help, right? And so they was in the hospital, and they wanted my father to drink some stuff. And my father told him in a tongue language, my daddy told him, he said, I'm not drinking that. Now look, even before they asked him to drink it, there were a number of red flags, and they continued to lie to us about when they were going to release him. And as an outpatient, he would have had no problem. But they was trying to lock that brother down. They were trying to keep him in that facility until he passed on. And my father said, listen, I am not drinking that. And he started a few things, and, you know, he started speaking that heavenly language. And let me tell you. So he didn't drink it. And I got him out of there. My dad and I, we walked out of the hospital. The day he walked out, he pulled the thing that they had attached to him. He pulled it out of his arm. Blood was shooting all up on the wall. Matter of fact, he went home with the needle in his arm. But he got out of there. We got out of there, and we walking down the hall. And I was like, oh, Lord. And we just walking. And then his nurse, she stood in front, the nurse of the hospital nurse, she stood in front of the elevator. And I said, oh, Lord, this lady, you have to move from in front of this elevator. I said, we going for a walk. She said, well, y'all can walk around up here. I said, no, we walking downstairs. Thank God the lady moved from in front of the elevator. We walked downstairs. We got on the elevator, went downstairs. And I said, listen, now, because we were glorifying the Lord, following his instructions and his directions. And there's some more things behind this. I don't have time to tell you. Maybe I'll tell you sometime, another time. But so we're walking down the hall, and I said, how am I going to get my dad to the parking lot of where my vehicle is? My vehicle's up in the parking lot. We're walking, headed to the door of the hospital. My mother and my sister pulled up in their vehicle. Only God. Only God. We was walking down the hall. I said, how am I going to get them? They pulled up. My mom got out of the front of the car, put my dad in the front. My mom got in the back, and they drove off and left. My sister driving. Took my dad to the bowling alley, and he had some coffee. Had at the bowling alley. One of his most favorite places to be was the bowling alley. But let us live our life to glorify the Lord, to honor him, and he will deliver us. He delivered the three Hebrew boys. He delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He delivered them because they would not bow. They would not submit. They would not fall in line with the status quo of what they wanted them to do. And God will deliver you. Can we stand to our feet and give God praise and bless his name? Come on, let's glorify him. Let's bless the Lord. Thank you, Father. May we live our lives to glorify you. May we live our lives to honor you. May we live our lives to give you glory. May we live our lives to give you praise. May we live our lives to bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you, Father. We glorify your name. We magnify you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. And so our focus is we want others to see how blessed God has blessed them because of our presence. Because of your presence. Because you glorify God. We are representatives of God. And the people that God sends our way, we are excited for them because we know that God has sent them to someone who glorifies and brings attention to him. Amen. Amen. God bless.